Yeah. Awesome. Bring it on.
So how does it make you
feel?
Yeah.
Hello, welcome to Three Men and a Feeling. My name's Michael McKenzie. With me are the two other men in this scenario. Andrew Fuller is a clinical psychologist, family therapist, and a whole bunch of other great things as well. John Hendry is a longtime educator. He now works with the Institute of Positive Education as a consultant. He also talks to organisations like UNESCO about some of the frailties of our human behaviour and how we can affect things at a policy level in that regard. John Hendry, Andrew Fuller, today I want to start with a quote on the back of John Hendry's business card. It comes from Bishop Desmond Tutu. Forgiveness gives us the capacity to make a new start, and forgiveness is the grace by which you enable the other person to get up and get up with dignity to begin anew. In the act of forgiveness, we are declaring our faith in the future of a relationship and in the capacity of the wrongdoer to change. Beautiful words, powerful words, words that were espoused in practice, in fact, in the commission that was held after apartheid was ended in South Africa and was in some ways the central core of what that process was, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. John, do you want to speak to forgiveness in that light?
I think if you look at all the research that went into how they were to approach that particular commission, the only way forward was really directed by Mandela himself in how he managed his own life. He discovered that the only thing that allows organisations, people or whatever to go forward, individuals, is to give for a purpose. And so my approach to forgiveness is to take the for off the front and put it on the back. So forgive becomes give for, and then you have a purpose, which is the re-establishment of a relationship with yourself and with others. And this is the only way forward. If you don't, the Mayo Clinic has done some really interesting studies on physiology, and those people who struggle or don't forgive carry with them burdens that eventually have a physiological effect on them that is lifelong, but also it isolates them from the capacity of their willingness to join with others in a relationship. And this means that in the end, they don't contribute what they could to the lives of others, let alone to themselves. And this is, you know, disabling. And, you know, people go to their graves carrying a grudge, which doesn't give them peace. One of the very interesting studies done by David Curl, who's a doctor in Vancouver, who the last 15 years of his medical life he spent working in palliative care, he concludes that what people really want in their dying moments is to be forgiven and to forgive, and then they depart in peace. It's very interesting studies that have been done in that area. So forgiveness is a powerful enabling agent. In fact, it is the most profound enabling agent in any relationship, be it a work relationship, be it an intimate relationship, parent and child, teacher and child. It's just fundamental.
It's really interesting in the way you describe the power of forgiveness, because I think for many of us who have had trouble forgiving, they believe maybe, and I'm basing this on my own impressions when I've had trouble, is that you're giving too much power to the other person in forgiving. But what you're saying is in fact quite the opposite. You're saying you empower yourself to actually move on with your life and have a life that's a healthier life in all kinds of ways by allowing forgiveness into your mind.
Oh, there's no doubting that.
Right.
There's no doubting that. And this is not a religious thing at all. For people to cooperate together, we all make mistakes.
Andrew Fuller, if I forgive someone, does that automatically mean I've accepted that what they did was okay?
No, it doesn't. I think that basically forgiveness is about thinking about how we deal with the pains in our lives. So essentially, one of the rules of thumbs that I have in my own kind of work is that if we don't transform pain, we transmit it. And we transmit it not only down the generations or through our social circles, we transmit it back towards ourselves as well. And so we've all been overlooked, we've all been rejected, we've all basically had hard times. And those times can then linger on in terms of your life. They fester, a bit like wounds. And unless you can find a way to transform them, and the transformative power is through forgiveness, hard as it is at times, it actually frees you. So it doesn't necessarily make the wrongdoing right or make the other person somehow justified or even give them power. All it really does is say, well, they too are a flawed human being. I may not like what they've done. In fact, sometimes it's awful what they've done.
Mm.
But at the same time, I deserve to forgive the situation so I can move on and have a healthy life.
But here's something that comes to mind. Isn't the act of forgiveness in part them, the other party, knowing that you've forgiven them? Isn't that, in fact, sort of intrinsic in that exchange of a change of mind?
Ideally, the other person knowing is great, although I work in therapy with lots of people who wish to basically forgive people who passed away.
Ah.
And so then doing that ritualistically, simply by writing a letter to somebody that perhaps is never sent and there's no recipient anyway, or going somewhere and speaking the words to a symbolic spot is very, very powerful in people's lives. And they walk away from that moment transformed. It sounds magical, but it's actually very, very powerful to actually put into words and articulate, I forgive you for what has happened. It was awful. I hated it at the time. It should never have happened. It wasn't right. But I now need to free myself so I can move on in my life. It's a very powerful thing to do.
Nevertheless, John, there are circumstances where you may come to the conclusion that for your own sense of betterment, in fact, for the betterment of perhaps a whole bunch of people around you, including family, friends, loved ones, that to forgive is the best option to go forward, as you've already explained why it would be so. But the person who you're forgiving still doesn't think they've done anything wrong. That's a hard road to hoe.
Oh, it is. It is. But forgiveness at least gives you a way forward.
But maybe not with them.
It may not be so, or they may take longer to come to the acceptance and the realisation that, in fact, what they've done has in fact harmed in a way that they didn't anticipate it. It does. If you look at what you read out at the beginning, what you're attempting to do is to restore some dignity to the other person and to the relationship. But you also are indicating to them in an educative sense that faith is really important, faith in them. You have faith in them. And, you know, you could think of any situation that occurs in life where you can do one or two things. You can say, you know, I'm not going to forgive there. And it will have a downward spiral effect. Just someone cuts you off in traffic.
Mm. But, of course, road rage is a sign of classic non-forgiveness, isn't it?
It is. It is indeed.
I'll never forgive you.
And you know, we have so many instances where people either deliberately or inadvertently make a mistake that impacts on another. How do we manage it as a society?
How can you build a culture of forgiveness into an organisation?
Well, that's a really interesting challenge. However, it's possible to do that by changing the language.
Simply by changing the language?
Just by changing the language. That will change action. So if you practice something, then it becomes part of you. So if a whole system practices forgiveness, then it becomes part of the system. And what it means is that people will have a go at things because they'll make a mistake, but they'll be forgiven because it's a learning moment. And then all of a sudden you have collaboration and cooperation rather than being competitive and sliping people out of things. So these are really, really fundamental management issues.
Well, and that lack of forgiveness is at the heart of our corporate culture. It's at the heart of sort of the way capitalism works and also, sadly, the heart of politics.
Well, it bites away at any trust you have. And, you know, you need to if you're going to be successful in life in any way, you need to trust. You need, because other people are going to be part of your life. They make you who you are. Other people matter.
Andrew, there's many scenarios where forgiveness is intrinsically needed, but very hard to achieve. We've talked about why it is we should do it and perhaps some of the pathways to making it happen. Nevertheless, as we come to a conclusion on this particular part of our human emotional landscape, if people are trying to forgive, and maybe that other person involved is not in the room, not in their lives, maybe dead, maybe alive still, but just not reachable emotionally because they still don't agree with what happened in the conflict in the first place. How do we start that process of forgiveness within ourselves despite perhaps what's going on?
So before we've forgiven someone who's hurt us, we are still in relationship with them because, of course, we hold them in our heads. We hold them in our lives. So rather than resuming a relationship, forgiveness can be a way of ending it so that we can move on for our lives. So it can be a way of farewelling that person and the hurt that they have done to us. And so it's a struggle, and it's a struggle for us all. It's hard to forgive great hurts easily, of course. And it's helpful, I think, at times just to think about the number of times that we ourselves have been forgiven as we go through that process. I mean, anyone who's ever had parents has been forgiven. And I often say that anyone who still has some friends has been forgiven. My friends have had to forgive me a heck of a lot, I can tell you.
They told me that.
And so just appreciating that, you know, we all live really in our friendships and our relationships through a series of small forgivenesses for hopefully not too major hurts. But really, we live through the kind of kindness of others.
Andrew's right. You don't have to, and you will not restore a relationship. You'll repair it, but you will not restore it to what it was because we live with the history of what's occurred.
Which comes back to where we began this conversation, which is the Truth and Reconciliation Commission in South Africa on a much wider, you know, national scale.
Yes.
That was a process of healing but not forgetting.
To use my cricket term, let it go through to the keeper. Let's not let it get you out.
Well, hopefully we've unstumped a few people here today on this very issue. And if not, for that last joke, I ask your forgiveness. John Hendry, Andrew Fuller, it's been a pleasure to have you two plus me deal with a feeling. We'll be back next week.
Yeah.
And Andrew and John join Michael McKenzie for Three Men and a Feeling next week at this time to discuss what it means to have integrity. You're with Life Matters. I'm Amanda Smith.